Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday evening, Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Hopefully you guys made the trip there this weekend while you were in Starkville. And if you've got one more day to be in Starkville, well, that's one more trip to make to Strange Brew or to Churn and Spoon. Get your day started the right way with a iced coffee, hot coffee, some sort of coffee. Coffee is for closers. Mississippi State looking to close things out tomorrow. Head to Strange Brew for yours. It is Father's Day week. I will be tweeting out a picture to later today of some shirts that we're going to be giving away this week for some dads from our friends over at College Corner. If you're not going to get a shirt from the giveaway, hey guys, this is it. This is the week. I would send whoever to Jackson. If you don't already live there, they're just going to have to go down there and shop for you. Last minute gift ideas, there are plenty of them at College Corner for dad. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, they're in Flowood by Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco. I mean, what else do I need to say? That place was buzzing this weekend, just like I predicted. Plenty of people coming to check out Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant, Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, the most unique menu of any Mexican restaurant maybe you've ever been to. So many great ideas turned into fun dishes. Great place to hang out. The local beer list, margaritas on tap. The patio is always great. If you haven't been there yet, you are missing out. Make sure this summer you make at least one trip to Starkville to try out Humble Taco. Well, Robbie, if one of us is going to be right, it's going to be you. Mississippi State will indeed play an elimination game, 6 p.m. on Monday evening, Mississippi State versus Notre Dame, to determine who goes to the College World Series. I guess the big picture question is this. Has this series sort of played out how you thought it would?
Maybe not exactly how I thought it would, but I thought both teams would get a punch in this first two games. Mm-hmm. It was just going to be really hard for me to see Mississippi State limiting that offense in the first two games to the point where they could sweep it. You know, in 2019, when you're facing that Stanford club, you felt like you were going to get two pretty good starts because you really felt good about your starters. I don't feel great about Mississippi State starters. I don't feel great about any of them. I didn't feel great about Will Bednar. I know he was my playmaker pick, just because I thought if Mississippi State was going to have success in that game one, it was going to be because of him, which was completely wrong because he lasted, I think, three innings. But the offense came to play in that first game, and they took advantage of some miscues by Notre Dame. It flipped completely in game two. Mississippi State did absolutely nothing on offense after that triple by Rowdy Jordan to start the game, which, incredible. Triple to start the ball game on the first pitch, and you pretty much do nothing the rest of the game. But then State had some miscues, and they weren't able to get anything, get out of those innings early in the ball game. So it flipped a little bit, and Notre Dame now forces a game three, and it's anybody's ball game, as you know, on game threes.
This series has not gone the way I thought it would, obviously, and beyond my prediction, which was State in two. For Notre Dame to have four errors on Saturday, the nation's best defensive team to play like that, was shocking to me. And, you know, I thought this would be a series that was decided with high-scoring games. So Notre Dame getting 8-9 isn't overly surprising. But the way State's bats were handled in Game 2 was very surprising to me, especially when the game leads off with Rowdy Jordan blasting nearly a home run, but it ends up being a leadoff triple. And you think, okay, here we go. We're going to be in for another one of these back-and-forth affairs. And you just didn't get that. So I have been surprised at how this series has gone. And I worry for Mississippi State, because I do agree with you that, you know, I think we think it's going to be Houston Harding today or on Monday, but we don't know that for sure. I wouldn't be totally surprised if they threw a right-hander out there just to give that contrast that they have. But backs are against the wall now. I mean, how much room for error do you really have if you're Mississippi State? So I the momentum to me is totally with Notre Dame, and that's a concern.
And they got they could not have asked for a better performance from Aiden Tyrell. He went 7 1/3 innings, didn't labor, never was pressured in that game, not once, and saved the bullpen. Now that they threw their best guy out of the pen on a Saturday, he threw, I think, 78 pitches, something like that, I imagine he might could come back if they needed to, but he's, I mean, that's a lot of pitches. So they throw in a couple of their good guys out of the pen. I don't really know what they have coming out of there. And, you know, they got another lefty tomorrow. I mean, that's basically all they've thrown. But it just seems like, maybe I'm off base here, but it just seems like State struggles against these soft, tossing lefties.
And that's what got me tonight was, and I made this comment to my next-door neighbor, Mike Nemeth, is that, and this is not to say that Tyrell is a mid-major kind of pitcher. He's obviously very good, but in midweek games, State will face a guy who's just not throwing. He's not throwing 95, 96. Soft tossing. He's trying to locate. And usually one turn through the order is all it takes for the bats to start figuring out, okay, this is where the ball's going. And that never happened for Mississippi State tonight. He was able to control the – now, look, I think we can both agree after two games, the umpiring has not been fantastic.
No.
There has been some issues with the strike zone with both guys so far. But if you're getting that low strike – and you keep throwing it, I can't say anything against that. And that's what Tyrell did. He had the bottom half of the zone to himself, and State simply could not put the bat on the baseball.
He was locating his fastball, which wasn't overpowering, but he was locating it. And he was keeping the breaking ball low in the zone, and that was being located for the most part too. And State couldn't lay off of it. And I think most of that is because of the strike zone. It was a little wide, I think. And he was able to get those strikes, and then you start thinking, well, I got to hit this, and they just couldn't hit it. And I think also they saw Rowdy come out there and bang that triple off the wall, and they thought, we're about to smash this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's game two. You got a chance to close it out. You're wearing your black jerseys, which, by the way, I don't think
probably
you can wear
done.
Those ever again.
They're done.
At least not this year.
Yeah.
But
that magic went with Jake Mangum.
Yeah, those are gone. You've lost three games in a row now with those against LSU, Arkansas, and now Notre Dame. So you got to bring out the pinstripes for game three. But it just seems like Mississippi State just could not figure this guy out. And you kind of thought by the second or third time to the lineup, they would find a way, but they just never did.
I thought the game sort of turned for me. I think as it's in the third, where Forsyth gets a leadoff single, and you're thinking, okay, you know, here Forsyth has done something. We've been talking for weeks about this.
Turning the lineup over.
Turn the lineup over.
To three guys that have been killing
who have been on fire, and then Jordan, Allen, and James all strike out to end that inning. That, to me, that felt like a huge missed opportunity. And then, you know, an inning later is when the game breaks open. Errors, again, haunting Mississippi State. That's been a story all season long. A couple of walks. McLeod, I didn't think he was terrible tonight, but, you know, just his defense didn't help him out. And his own defense, you know, he had the error in the first that led to a couple of runs.
And let's go back to that first inning. Okay, yeah. So State comes out and gets that lead. McLeod's playing with a lead, and you feel a little comfortable there. Comes out, gets a quick strikeout. He gets 0-2 on the next batter, and you're saying, this dude is locked in. And then he hits him.
Yeah.
And then walks a guy.
Yeah.
On the next batter.
Yeah.
Then he gives up a single to load the bases.
Mm-hmm.
He came back, got a strikeout, got 0-2 on the next guy,
mm-hmm.
who just murdered State the day before, had three hits and two
right.
doubles, a home run. Gets a little, you know, weak
excuse
ground
me,
ball.
Yeah.
And I don't blame McLeod or anybody for that. It was a tough play.
Right.
It gets past McLeod, and he throws it down. And I think Hancock actually came and got it. And they don't make the play, and then McLeod overthrows the play at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that, it's 2-1.
Right.
And, I mean, it was plays like that. It was a couple of plays that really opened the game up for Notre Dame. And it just seemed like after that, State just was not comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they didn't come out like the alpha on Saturday, which was strange because I thought it might be flipped on Saturday and Sunday. I thought State has not played well during day games. I kind of thought that, you know, the night game would be when things came alive for Mississippi State, and just didn't. They just didn't play a very good game. But this is how they've been all year, Brian.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been up and down like this all year, and it's what's so surprising to me that they're in this position to possibly get to Omaha because they haven't played great all year.
Let's go back to that Saturday game, game one. What, first off, just from a neutral perspective, one of the best college baseball games you'll ever watch. Just back and forth throughout the whole game. A lot of drama, a lot of big plays from both teams. I thought after that game that State really had Notre Dame where they wanted them. They had taken their best shot. Notre Dame was reeling. I thought that, you know, making those errors was going to get into Notre Dame's head a little bit. I knew that they could come back to Sims, even though he threw a good number of pitches. Lamona said it in postgame, he could close tomorrow if we needed him. And I thought that everything was working in Mississippi State's favor. And I guess that's, you know, sort of a that's baseball kind of thing, because it completely flipped in 24 hours mm-hmm. now for Mississippi State. And you just said it, you know, State's sort of been in this, you know, these need to win a Sunday game kind of series before. Assuming it is Harding for Mississippi State, you know, you saw McLeod tonight. Notre Dame had some success against him as a left-hander. Do you believe Harding can have success against this Notre Dame lineup?
I don't know. And the big question is, what do you do? You have to get a good start from somebody. You can't come out and get in a hole early. That's not Mississippi State's style. That they're not at their best when that's happening. I know they came back on Saturday, but Mississippi State's at its best when it gets a lead and it's able to get comfortable. So the big question is, what do? Do you start Harding right away? Do you start somebody like I don't know, Cade Smith? He only pitched an inning. Could he come out and start? Would you even consider starting Landon Sims?
You know, that's sort of the theme of this Sunday. We saw Kevin Copps go, I think, 8 innings in Arkansas. Taylor Broadway on the mound right now as we're watching Ole Miss in Arkansas. The issue with that is very simple, though. And I guess it's sort of the same issue that Ole Miss and Arkansas had today, and that's if you go to the 8th with the lead, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because it's a little different for Arkansas, because Copps could have nearly pitched a complete game. He probably could have if things had gone a little smoother for him. But Broadway my guess is he's out by the 4th inning. He's a hard thrower.
Right.
Sims could probably give you 4 innings. Now, that's 4 innings.
And Broadway's kind of heavy fastball. And Sims is like that in a way, too. Copps is one of those guys that it feels weird to say, but he kind of has a rubber arm.
Yeah.
He's not throwing hard.
That cutter is not a high-stress pitch for him.
The thinking by both Ole Miss and Arkansas here is to try to get your production on the front end.
Yeah.
You want to hold whatever team you're playing where they're at, and hopefully your offense can build you a lead so you have a healthy lead heading into the late innings. Didn't work out for Arkansas, and, you know, we'll see on Ole Miss. They're currently in the 3rd inning, but it's such a interesting topic to have. Landon Sims has not been in this situation this year. Mm-hmm. He's always been coming in late in the ball games with a safe situation. And when he's come in those situations, he's been strong. The games that he's been hit are the ones where Mississippi State's been down or they have a lead.
I think Sims would be okay because he's used to high-pressure situations, and that's what it would be. But my worry wouldn't even be about Sims, and it honestly wouldn't worry be about the back end of the game as much as I would be worried that State takes advantage and gets that lead in the first 4 innings.
Right, because
if you go to the bottom of the, or you go to the top of the 5th and it's still scoreless, you've blown it.
Well, here's the thing too. I do think you feel a little better about Parker Stinnett and Stone Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I would feel okay with Stone Simmons coming out there with a 2-run lead in the 9th inning.
In this scenario we just outlined, though, you could go from Sims to Houston Harding.
Yeah,
that is a big. Big difference.
That's kind of my point. Like that's the thing I've been saying for weeks. Harding's had success as a starter, but as it stands right now, it just feels like he is so much better in that relief role when he's mm-hmm. coming in. But you cannot afford to go down 3-2 like you did in that game last week.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a guy that can hold Notre Dame at 2-3 runs through 6 innings. I'm not saying the starter has to get you 6 innings, but by the 6th inning, you need it to be 2-3 runs to be within striking distance or have a lead.
We're discussing on this. I feel like there's no chance in hell that Sims will start this game.
No, I don't know. I don't see Lemonis doing that, but I wouldn't say no chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think there was any chance that Taylor Broadway would be pitching for Ole Miss.
And I didn't think there was a chance that Copps was going to start.
I thought there was a chance that Copps would pitch because they put him.
But I didn't know he would start.
Well, that's what I thought they would do that because they're thinking he's our best pitcher. Let's go ahead and shut it down. And which, by the way, can we just talk
about
how incredible it is? And that's the great thing about baseball.
Absolutely mind blowing.
You go back to that 2011 season, Mississippi State went to Florida,
yeah,
and how close they were to beating that team, which has produced more MLB players than any team in SEC history, that 2011 Florida team. State almost beat them with that team. And that's similarly kind of what happened with Arkansas. I mean, that's almost a wire-to-wire regular season number one. Won the SEC outright. They won the SEC tournament. And won 21-2 in the first game of that series. And then 2 days, the season's over. I mean, that's how quickly it can end.
17% of Arkansas's losses on the season came this weekend.
This is unbelievable.
They outscored North Carolina State in this regional 28-11 and lost two games.
Baseball, man.
It really is. Arkansas, you listened to the show before with Joel. We had I forget what listener it was, but he asked us three or four times, like, Arkansas or the field to win the national title. And every time I was like, I would take Arkansas. And so I'm not saying this is the miracle on ice or anything like that, but that is one of the most surprising sporting outcomes that I can really remember.
The biggest thing about it that's surprising is losing at Baum in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Because that place has just been, you know, a launching pad for them, and it's been so tough for teams to win there. Yeah. And it's just to lose back-to-back games like that and you don't have a whole lot of production. And listen, they almost lost their regional. I mean, well,
yeah.
Game
they got taken all the way.
The final was not great, but
yeah.
It just shows you that how difficult it is to win a national title. This is a team like the 2019 Vanderbilt team, or the 2014 or whatever team that was Vanderbilt, that you could almost put your mortgage down on them winning a national title.
Yeah,
but it's so tough, man, and especially if you're the number one overall seed, very difficult to win.
I feel like if State can win tomorrow, they have a really good chance in Omaha
to make a run,
because now Vanderbilt's coming out of that other side of the bracket, I believe. So you're going to see Vanderbilt in the national. Whoever wins that's the other side is seeing Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Well, State's already beaten Leiter this year,
yeah,
and they played okay against Rocker. So it's,
man, that field plays to Vanderbilt.
It does, because they pitch so well, but State pitches well.
The only way that you really score against Rocker and Leiter is long balls.
Yeah. Let's continue this discussion, but first we'll move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. Hope you guys are still checking them out and hitting them up for some of the, you know, we're deep into cookout season now. You want to have great products on the grill. It's hard to make bad food with good products. You got to try to screw it up. Welcome Home Beef, not only will they give you the great products, they give you the know-how. Talk to the Sanders brothers up there. They will tell you how to cook their products and make everything delicious. Call them today at 662-268-8148 or visit them online at welcomehomebeef.com. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Two brothers. That place was moving this weekend. Hold on a second. That's gone. Two-run home run for Arizona, now 3-1 Wildcats.
Like the people out there are...
Oh, they already know, but I had to watch. I could not see it go over the fence.
And this is the problem with starting a closer, because this is a different kind of situation for them, and that's why you got to be careful with that, but we'll see what happens.
Anyway, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, probably some people going crazy in there right now. That place was hopping all weekend long. Every time I went past it a couple of times, and I mean, there was always a line. So
had lunch there this week with Becky.
Yeah, it's just great. It's just a great place to eat. Our friends Courtney, Rob, and Chris Bolton ate there for the first time on Friday. Yeah,
wow. And that's the first time they've been there.
Yeah, and they were texting me like, "What should I get? What should I get?" I was like, "Guys, honestly, you really can't give a. There's no missteps here.
Just close your eyes and point.
Put your finger down, and there you're good." And that's the same for you guys. Make sure next time you're in Starkville, Two Brothers, make sure it's on the agenda. Southern Smoked Soul Food in the heart of the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Our good friends over at Advantage Business Systems, guys, they have everything your business needs to succeed. They have an inventory of products, technology, software, everything a business needs to keep profits high and problems low. And then they're going to back that up with incredible customer service, the customer service you expect from your next-door neighbors. And that's what they are at Advantage Business Systems. They are Mississippians. They've been doing business in the Magnolia State for nearly 50 years, helping out businesses just like yours. Call them today. Find out how they can help you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We've talked about, you know, Mississippi State and what they could do in Omaha and how the national title situation might step up for them. But at the end of the day, they have to win tomorrow. So, Robbie, let's just do – we've sort of previewed it a little bit. We don't know who State's throwing. It will be Mercer. Will Mercer throwing for Notre Dame, another left-hander, sort of a similar mold as Tyrell. What do you think about tomorrow's game, and who are the players – you know, I feel like it's almost too obvious to say Rowdy Jordan, Tanner Allen. This is their last game at Denny Noble, come win or lose. Who needs to step up beyond those two guys to make sure Mississippi State is headed to Omaha?
Bottom half of the lineup.
Yeah.
It seems like that's the key to every team's success, doesn't it? Like, the teams that hit well at the bottom half, it seems like they put themselves in a much better position. And that's what Notre Dame's done in the first two games. And listen, there ain't nothing wrong with Notre Dame's offense. They lost that first game because of their defense. The offense has not let up. Mississippi State didn't do anything offensively in game two. Notre Dame's going to bring it again on Monday. I can guarantee you that's going to happen. State's going to have to score a ton of runs.
This is going to be, for lack of a better word, a dogfight.
I really feel like State needs to score 10 runs. It might be 4-2. I seriously doubt it, but it might be 4-2 tomorrow night. But I can promise you this lineup from Notre Dame is going to hit, and that's what they've done the first two games. First game, it was the 9-hole hitter, 3 hits, 2 doubles, and a home run. Sunday night, it was the 9-hole hitter that had the 3-run home run. It's unbelievable. I mean, the teams that do that, the teams that are producing in the bottom half of their lineup and turning it over to the top half, are the ones that you see have the most success. I mean, so Kellum Clark has to come up with some big hits.
He got robbed that Sunday night.
He's struggling to see the ball drop, but I didn't see the exit velocity on that line drive. Guarantee you it was 102, 104 miles an hour.
Yeah, an insane.
Scalded it. So he just needs something to drop. You know, Brad Cumbus has to come through. He had a couple hits in game one. Had a hit, I think. Might have had a hit on Sunday, too.
He had a couple hits.
Yeah. So back-to-back games with 2 hits.
Yeah.
So he's seeing it well.
Right, yeah.
Lane Forsythe got on base twice, got a hit.
Yeah.
Those guys have to continue to produce because Rowdy and Tanner – it's hard to believe that they're going to have, you know, an 0-for-4 night.
Right.
So I expect those guys to step up. To me, it's all about the offense getting it going, and then you just need some production from your offense. You got to play clean defense. You don't, you know, one error might be enough. You can't have any defensive miscues in this ball game.
A 4-2 game that you're describing, that favors Mississippi State, in my opinion. If you tell me that it's 4-2 is the final, I think State wins that game. If you tell me it's...
Why do you say that?
Because that means that Notre Dame is more of a hitting team. They've scored 8 and 9. If they can't get, you know, if somebody only gets...
So you think it's going to be either, you know, feast or famine? They're either going to score 8 runs or 2
well,
runs?
Well, I think if Notre Dame wins, it's probably going to be a high-scoring game. I think State can win a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I don't know that Notre Dame can win 4-2.
You've got to have them make some mistakes, too, apparently, because, I mean, they were unbelievable on Sunday.
Much better.
And they lost by 1 run on Saturday, and they had the worst defensive game of the season.
That's what worries me.
Yeah.
I told you that on the way out. I said they had – imagine like a football game where the quarterback throws 4 interceptions and you only win by one point. You got lucky to win.
This team's playing their best baseball, I think.
They are.
They haven't been – if you look at their numbers, they haven't been just incredible all year long.
Right.
Their offense is breaking out. This isn't what their offense has been all season long. Mm. It's breaking out, and that's a dangerous team. Those are the teams you don't want to play. You don't worry about the name on the front of the jersey when it gets late in the season in baseball. You worry about whether that team's been playing well or not. I wouldn't want to play Virginia or DBU right now.
Yeah.
You know, those two teams, it seems, and Notre Dame are playing better than Arkansas. So it's just baseball, man. I know people get tired of hearing that, but that's how this game goes. You get hot, you get cold, and Mississippi State needs to get hot. They've got to have their best game of the year, I think, on Monday night to win. And I'm absolutely intrigued to see what State does from a pitching standpoint. I'm almost leaning towards Landon Sims at this point. I've almost convinced myself.
I just don't see that happening.
I just think you have to have a good start. Whether you pitch him in the front half of the game or the back half, to me, is is about the same, because you're either going to have to shut them down late, or you're going to have to shut them down early. And then it's all up to your offense at that point. So
I give a lot of credit to Notre Dame and to their coaching staff, because of, I mean, you have four errors and then you come back and play really clean defense on Sunday night. That's coaching. That's a good job. Link Jarrett is a very good baseball coach. Won't be surprised to see him with some big jobs in the near future. That being said,
and by the way, he made a point yesterday. They haven't lost two straight games in the last 2 years.
Yeah,
which I know last year was shortened, but that team brings it on game two. Whatever happens in game one, game two, they just seem to have it. So they weren't surprised at all to have the kind of game they had.
You definitely have two teams here that have faced adversity and have overcome it. I just worry that the Notre Dame momentum is there. And like I said, I worry that you only won by one in a game where the best defensive team in the country handed you four errors. It feels like you should have won by a lot more.
And you've given them hope. You've shown them that, hey, we can come out and quiet the crowd, and they're not going to get in our heads.
Yeah.
Because they just shut you down. But what you hope now is this turns into the Ole Miss series. Doug Nikhazy came in here and just shoved it, like Chris Lamona said, and shut down Mississippi State's offense. Their bats were hot. State came out in that game three and they just rolled. I mean, Drew McDaniel shut them down for most of the game, and then
when they came back.
But that's what you hope happens on Monday night if you're a Mississippi State fan. You hope you get that kind of performance from Mississippi State and the crowd is able to take over the ball game late.
All right, we'll see what happens then. Let's get a prediction from you. You going to stick with what you said on Friday?
There's something special about Mississippi State, Duty Noble Field, and postseason play. And we've seen this before, maybe not in this stadium during the postseason, but we've seen Mississippi State's backs against the wall in postseason play here. Of course, they had that rough series against Arizona, but this team just figures out ways to win. They're not great at anything. They're not a great hitting team. They don't play good defense. They haven't pitched it great. They've been below expectations.
Yeah.
But here they are, one win away from Omaha, and you have at least two guys that just kind of impose their will when they need it to happen. I'm going to go with State. I'm going to go with State here. I'm not confident in that pick, but I didn't feel good about this game too. I thought State was going to lose this game. So we'll see what happens. Both teams have some question marks coming in from a pitching perspective. I think State has the advantage from a pitching perspective because you have Landon Sims and most of that bullpen. Mm-hmm. It's up to the offense. I think the offense breaks through. I think the dude is going to play a factor in this ball game, and I think ultimately Mississippi State's going to find a way.
We've had 14-3 and 13-7. What's the crowd Monday night, do you think? Monday night hurts, but at the same time, this being an elimination game, I think people will be like, I need to be there.
I think it's going to be 13. Okay. I think it's going to be over 13. I think they could have got 15, close to 15 on Sunday if the weather would have been
a little bit better.
But, Sunday night, you got work the next day. Monday night, same thing. You're going to lose some fans there. There's going to be some people that traveled that have to go home. Mm-hmm. But I think they might pick up some fans for those tickets.
There'll be some people who go home Sunday night and then get up and they'll have to work a half day or whatever and come back Monday afternoon. So
it's just different. When it gets to super regional time, people find a way.
You got to find a way.
You don't want to miss those kind of moments because these are just classic moments.
In the postseason, you should always, dance with who brung you. Well, negativity brung me to the dance. I think Notre Dame's going to get this game. I just feel like they have the momentum.
But you picked State to sweep.
I did. But one thing, look, and I say it all the time on Sports Talk Mississippi, when I am presented with new information, I can change my mind. I'm not somebody who gets locked into, well, I made this prediction, and I'm certainly not somebody who just like, it's always this way. When something different happens, now that I've seen Notre Dame and I've seen the way they've handled Mississippi State's pitching, and I saw the way that State, couldn't really take advantage of those four. I mean, I guess they did take advantage of those four errors, but they weren't able to dominate a game like that. I just feel like State is in trouble. I don't know what they're going to do for the starting pitcher, because I agree with you that Harding is so much better out of the bullpen, but who do you trust to throw that first couple innings?
I think I'm bringing somebody that can throw heat.
Well, I mean,
I want a power pitcher.
That's Kate Smith.
Cade Smith or Landon Sims.
Well, I don't know about that one. I can't see Lamontis doing it.
You have to get a good start.
I agree with that.
But I think it has to be somebody that can you know, elevate and that can get the velocity up. Yeah. And then you bring in Houston Harding and you change that eye level.
I like the idea, but we'll see. I think tomorrow Notre Dame wins. That's my prediction. We'll see
negative.
If I'm wrong.
You're so negative.
Buddy, I built a brand on it. That's the only reason I'm sitting in this chair right this second is because of that. So I'm not going to worry about it. We'll see what happens. Guys, have a great Sunday night, Monday, and we'll be back with you. Obviously, we'll be recording after the game on Tuesday, or I guess Monday evening, and be back with you then. Guys, have a good one. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.